when Pastor Chuck asked me to preach, I thought, that's great. I haven't preached in a while and haven't done many sermons, so kind of looking forward to it. But then he sent me the text. And I was like, ooh, James 4, verses 1 through 12. And I'm thinking, it's on conflict. So I started immediately having a conflict inside. Tried to think of all the excuses I could make up to not preach today. And as I looked at the scripture, though, it amazed me. Sometimes conflict, we look at it in a negative sense, but conflict can be an opportunity for God to work in our lives. And so that's what God taught me about this. The title of my sermon today is Conflict, It's All About Me. Now, I don't know if those of you know me, I have an older sister. And when I was about 8 years old and she was about 10, we fought all day. It was one of those days we just kept fighting and fighting, and my mom was just fed up. And my mom did something that I think about this and I'm like, I don't think this is a parenting skill I would do. And she took out the camera and started filming us. I'm like, was that supposed to stop us from fighting? I mean, for me, it's like, hey, it's wrestling time. Let's get going, you know? And so we're in this headlock, and we're falling, and we're fighting. And my sister falls into the couch, and she stubs her toe and screams. Now, I'm going to date myself here, because it wasn't video. It was Super 8 millimeter. And for those of you that were born before the 80s, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Super 8 millimeter, you cannot hear the cries, all right? So my sister's crying, and here's what I did. I run up to the camera, and I go, no, no. And I'm thinking, no, I didn't do it. She stubbed her toe. Don't get me in trouble. Don't spank me. So, you know, and an interesting thing about that is, over time, as my sister and I, as she got older and I got older, we really didn't have any fights. We really didn't have any conflicts. We got along. And I wish I could say the same thing about the church today. Because we as Christians, we sometimes get in some very worthless and destructive fights. A lot of times what happens is when the fight's over, we get the reality that we've been robbed. We've been robbed of precious time. We've been robbed of fellowship. And more importantly, we may have driven a brother and sister away from the church, but most importantly, maybe we drove them away from God. If you would, turn to your Bibles. We're going to read James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And it's also should be on the screen behind me. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, you do not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it's no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Let's pray. God, there's a lot of things in here about conflict. And Lord, I hope my goal is to just see that others, we can each learn about conflict and how we need to deal with it. Lord, I ask that you just speak through me and speak through your word today. Thank you so much. In your name I pray. Amen. So, James asks us, in this passage, why do we fight? And I think that's a great question to ask ourselves today. What causes friction between yourselves and others in the church? You know, I really like James because he's a realist. He's practical. He's a great teacher. He's aware that the reality of conflict among Christians. And you know what? It's not unrealistic to believe that there's going to be conflict in the church. The point is, we can't avoid church conflict. The point is, we need to learn what causes conflict in the church. In today's text, James is going to be like a doctor for us, okay? So we're going to get the diagnosis, then we're going to get the danger to us, and then finally, the remedy. And his diagnosis starts out in verse 1. He says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? He's like, look, I want to know what the cause is. I want to know why there's so much drama. I want to know why you guys are talking so bad about each other. So what's the battles and wars that are going on among you? Why are you not getting along? Then James busts me up. Because he asks the question, and then right in the middle of the right at the end of verse 1 and verse 2, he answers the question. At the end of verse 1 and verse 2, he says, it's not about the other person said or did, but it's about you. More importantly, it's about your passions and your desires. It's about your self-indulging sinful desires. It's about your self-satisfaction that's a war within you. It's those desires and those conflicts that are causing so much conflict in the community of believers. James goes on to say that it's your want for something that others have, and you can't get it. And so what happens? You get mad, you get jealous. Then you cause conflict. And I'd like to explain it through an example today. I'm a visual person, and I love what Chuck's been doing, bringing people up on the stage, and so have some of my college students. So I've asked some of my students to come up and help me, and I'm going to call them up in just a minute. But I want to tell you this. I love Mustangs. I don't know if you know this about me, but... excuse me, I'm really parched. I love Mustangs. I used to own a 1981 Mustang GT black car, and I owned it for about 12 years. So I just love Mustangs. So I need to tell you that as some people come up to the stage. So Joe Warren, would you come up here? And Chelsea, would you come up here? And Zach and Forrest, would you come up here? All right, Joe, I'd like you to stand over here, okay? Just right over here on this side. You three, stay right in this area, okay? And come on up, please. Now, I don't know if you guys know Joe Warren, but Joe just graduated from the University of Phoenix. In a few weeks, we're going to be doing graduation recognition, and we'll recognize Joe on that day. But Joe just graduated, so let's pretend. It's a pretend, Joe, so don't get excited. Let's pretend that Joe's parents just bought him a brand new 2010 Mustang for graduation. And it's loaded. It's got everything on it, okay? And Joe comes to church one day, and he's all excited. He's like, want to ride, Bill? I get in the car and I ride. I'm like, what is he going to do? I've got this blue, faded Cavalier. 100,000 miles. A CD player that when you pop the CD in, it pops back out. The driver's side window doesn't go down. So when you go through drive-thrus, you open the door. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, okay, God, look what I'm driving. And this young guy, he gets a brand new Mustang. That's not right. Now, I know I can't afford one, but that's not right. So here's what I do. I go over to Chelsea, Zach, and Forrest, and I start complaining. Can you believe that he has this? You know, and I start, and I get them all worked up. Chelsea and Zach are like, well, all three of them are like, we don't have a problem. That's not right. So they start getting angry, right? They start getting mad. And then what they do, would you two come on down here? So here's what they do. Go ahead and stand. Chelsea, stand right there. Zach, right about there. So here's what they do. They come in and they start talking to all the college students. And they say, gosh, did you hear about Joe? He's got a new Mustang. He thinks he's so cool. And they start. Okay? Okay, right there, guys. Then you have Forrest. And Forrest is thinking, well, you know, I'd like to have one too, but big deal. Gosh, Bill's making a big deal. So Forrest goes over to Joe. So Forrest goes over to Joe and he says, Joe, I don't know if you know what's going on. Bill's been asking. He's been complaining. He's got the whole college group all in disunity. And what's happened then is some of the group is like on my side. Part of the group's like, what's going on? Why is there so much strife? Why is there so much disunity? Right, you guys can sit down. Thank you. And here's my question. Whose fault is this? Whose fault is it? No, it's Joe's because he's got the Mustang. No, you're right. It's me. It's me. It's my fault. I coveted. I wanted that Mustang. So what did I do? Because I couldn't get it, I started complaining about it. And I know some of you are going, that's really a silly illustration. But you know what? I've been working with students long enough. That's just one of the many silly illustrations that happen. That's one of the most... We get worked up about the silliest thing. And here's what's sad about it. Because after it happens, it's caused so much ugliness and disunity in the body of believers, and it just tears it up, and it hurts. It hurts. Here's what James says about this. He says, what are they fighting over? What is the issue that's caused so much disunity? But you know what? He doesn't really talk about it. He doesn't talk about what the cause is. He doesn't talk about what the issue is. Because it doesn't matter what it is. When it escalates into war, into battle, into murder, into attacking each other, then it's no longer about the issue, but it's about your heart. It's about you and your problems. And another point I want to make is, if you look in verses 1 through 3, depending on your translation, he says the word you, and it occurs anywhere from 11 to 15 times. And I think he's trying to make a point there. That the conflict doesn't come from others, but it comes from us. James says the reason there's so much trouble is because of you. So, and I know a lot of times we try to make excuses. Sometimes we try to say, well, we fight because of this or that. You know what the bottom line is? We fight because we want to get our own way. That's it. That's all. The letter of James isn't some essay about ethics written to a general public. James is directing these words directly to the church. The church is by no means free from human nature. You know what? We want our own way. We know that. James diagnoses the situation by saying this. Because you didn't get your own way, you murder your fellow Christians. But not with a gun or with a knife, but with smoldering, hateful thoughts and hurtful words. Then notice, James touches on a prayer life here. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Here's what I'm going to ask you. If you're in a strained relationship, are you ever praying for the people involved? Maybe conflict would take the deeper shade of color if we began to pray for that person that we have conflict with. You know, I think it's really hard to pray for someone and to be angry at them at the same time. Then, if you're praying for the situation, I ask this. How are you praying? James says to check our motives in our prayers when our relations are strained. In verse 3, he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend it on your passions. Ask yourself, are you praying that this situation gets resolved in the way you want it to? Or are you praying that it gets resolved the way God wants it? Prayer isn't about getting our will done here. Prayer isn't about getting our will done in heaven. It's about getting God's will done here on earth. So, when you face a conflict, I want to encourage you, take a look at your prayer life. It's not a place, if it's not a place in a God-centered way, then maybe you need to make some changes. Then James points out the danger of such conflict. The main danger is that we'll get sucked into the way of the world. Look at verse 4. He says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it's to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us. See, James wants us to recognize conflict almost always arises because we embrace the values of the world around us and instead the values of God. We tend to find security and pleasure in the way of the world. And then we do that and look at it towards our life, our family, our church, and sometimes our jobs. For Christians, though, James calls this something he's really blunt about. This. He calls it spiritual adultery. You see, believers, we're going to have a covenant, a marriage relationship, if you will, with God through Christ. And because that we are no longer friends of the world, we need to realize this. It's kind of like this. Say a couple got married, and about a month into the marriage, the wife said, "You know what? I think I'm going to go out and date my ex-boyfriend." Now, you think some conflict's going to happen? Yeah. Husband's going to be jealous and say, "No!" God's jealousy longs for our heart because He's the light of the world. He's the fixed reality. He's the truth. We're created to orient our lives around His reality, not the world. When we set our hearts on worldly pleasures, guys, they're going to wreck us. Relationships will be strained. Who cares about how much money we have, how big our church is, how many places we've been to? Here's what matters: knowing and doing God's will. Conflict arises because our hearts are set on worldly values. Today's scripture says in your strained relations, take a good look at what your pleasures really are. And then, James being the good doctor, there's a solution to the hassles we have in the church. Very simply this: come back to Jesus. James, like a good medical doctor, gives us a detailed prescription for getting ourselves back on track. Let's look at verses 7 through 11. It says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." You know what? I think in these verses, I can find about 7 sermons. So we're going to sit here until about 4 today, and I'll preach them all. No, some of you are like, "I'm running out the door right now." But I want to be, seriously, if you have a conflict with someone, mark this passage in your Bible. The next time you have a hassle, look at these scriptures. It's a specific prescription for handling conflict. When you hear the word conflict, how do you react? You know, do you react like I did and freak out? Because that's what I did whenever I was preaching. I freaked out. And I don't like conflict. And here's how some people act when conflict comes. We think it's negative, though. First off, I want to say this. We think it's negative, and yet James wants to show us that it's an opportunity. And James gives us some counsel in order to recognize a potential in conflict. And here they are. Just kind of my points that I talked about today. First off, you can draw near to God. Secondly, cleanse your hearts of sin and worldliness. Next, defeating the enemy. Then, experiencing God's grace. Conflict is a crisis, but it also can be an opportunity. Some of us react by conflict by doing all we can to avoid it. We bury it. We hide it. We run from it. We don't resolve it in God's way. Others, by surrendering, we just give in. Then what happens? Later on, we start thinking about it, and we have nothing but resentfulness towards the other person, and it comes back. Others say, "You know what? I'm going to win no matter what the cost." They don't care. They just want to win. James gives us counsel to grow through our conflict, to look within at your part, your prayers, your pleasures, and ask yourself, are they of God? I'm going to close with a scripture that I really think has a great meaning about today, and just some verses about conflict that really just touched my life and has helped me through the years. And they're from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 30 through 32, and this is from the New Living Translation. and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You see, when we allow conflict to go unresolved, we allow the devil to get a foothold in our lives. And then conflict turns into bitterness. What happens is it's kind of like a cancer. It just begins to eat away at you. So here's what I want to encourage you today. If you have a conflict with someone, I want to encourage you that this week you go to that person and talk to them about it. You resolve that conflict. Stop allowing it to eat away at you. Stop allowing the bitterness to hurt you. I'd like to just, I'm going to pray for us, and then the band will come up and lead, and we'll go to an office. So let's bow our heads, please. God, I started out this week looking at this scripture, and I thought, Lord, I don't want to do this. But Lord, you showed me the conflict, even though it's a negative thing, Lord, you can use it for your glory. It depends on how we deal with it, Lord. So God, now I look at conflict as an opportunity to follow your ways and not mine. Father, I just want to ask that this week everyone here can really think seriously about where the conflict comes from in their lives. Does it come, like James says, from their selfish desires? Or Lord, so Lord, if it does, I just want to ask that people repent of that. Father, I want to ask that if someone has a conflict with another this week, that they will resolve that conflict. They will go to them, like Matthew says, and work it out. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the scripture you have to just show us.